Children of God, I ask y'all to pray for me. I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful for the services that we've had all week long. I just have been feasting on them, and I'm thankful for all of the preachers that have come up and have been such a help to us up here, and I'm thankful for all the help that we've received. And the General God, I ask you to pray for me because I want to be led by the Lord in what it is that He has me to deliver. But He's had me Saturday night of last week. We were in 1 Samuel, and we were over in chapter, I think it was 15. And this morning, and over the last couple of days, He's had me over in 1 Samuel again, just a few chapters before that. And I just want to, for one, just kind of bare my heart to you and tell y'all where I am. And then also, I believe there's a message somewhat to those that don't have the Holy Ghost and they're seeking for the Lord in this as well. And before we start into, we're going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 12 to begin with. But before we ever start right there, what I would like to bring back to your memory where last week on Saturday when we first started, the God let me kind of recount to you how the sermon that He let me deliver over in Flintville, how that there is a promise. So remember that there is a promise that is given, and then there is a waiting period between when the promise is given to when the promise is fulfilled, and the evidence of our faith in the promise is our obedience to the instruction that was given during the waiting period. So there's a promise, there's a waiting period before the promise is fulfilled, and there were instructions that were given almost every time throughout the Word of God. When there's a promise that's given so many times, there's instructions that are given along with that. And if we keep our eye on the promise, then we have faith in the promise and we are obedient to the instructions that were given to us during the waiting period. And remember, we talked about how with Noah, the promise was, I'm going to destroy the earth with a flood. The waiting period was 120 years, and the instruction was build an ark. And for 120 years, Noah was out there being faithful to the promise, believing that God was going to destroy the earth. So for 120 years, he worked on that promise, waiting for that promise to be fulfilled. And his obedience during that time was shown in his building of the ark. Samuel and Saul is the very first king of the nation of Israel. Saul is an example of someone who lost sight of the promise that was given, took his eyes off of the promise, and began to focus on the difficulties of his current situation. And we're going to go through it. And I'm going to show you. We'll talk through. So to give you a little bit of background so you understand who the players are here in Samuel and where we're going to be reading out of. Samuel comes at the very end of the last one of the, somewhat of what they call the judges who ruled over Israel. So the children of Israel were in slavery. Moses, God sent Moses to them. He brought them out of slavery. And then they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And then finally they were allowed to go into the promised land. And for hundreds of years, in the promised land, they did not have a king who ruled over them. They were ruled by judges. And over, there was a cycle that would happen with them during this time is a judge would rise up. He would help lead them and help defeat the people that were around them. And he would draw them back to serving the one true Lord God, Jehovah. And then things would go well for them for a little while, and during their prosperity, they would lose sight of the promise and they would begin to drift off into following other gods. And God, the Lord God Jehovah, would allow other people to come in and to conquer them at that point. And then they would begin to cry back out to the Lord during their affliction, and God would send another judge and raise him up and would deliver them and would ask, and then they would come back to worshiping God again. And that cycle happened over and over throughout the period of Judges. And then we get to the last judge or the last person before the prophet, before we see their very first king, and that's Samuel. And the books of 1 and 2 Samuel tell the story of Samuel being the last prophet over them that was ruling over them before they established the kingdom. And the very first king that they ever received was Saul, a man named Saul. And we're going to start here in chapter 12, verse 14. Samuel is addressing the people, and they have just instated Saul as their very first king. And while they've instated him, Samuel is giving instructions about the promise. And he says, "If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice." Remember that word fear there. "If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers." So Samuel is just saying, if you obey the Lord, if you and your king both obey the Lord, you're going to be able to dwell in this land safely. Your king's kingdom is going to go on, and you will be able to stay there, and you will have, but if you don't obey the voice of the Lord and you rebel, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Like all of those who repeatedly, as things would go well, would go back out into following other gods. Now we're going to jump over to verse 24. "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king." All right, so now we're going to jump over to chapter 13, verse 5. And Saul has been reigning for a couple of years, and God has blessed his kingdom. He is doing well, and he has won several battles, and God is working with him, and he's doing a good job right now. And we get over into verse 5, and he says, "And the Philistines," who were the people who were constantly coming against the Israelites and constantly fighting against them. And he says, "And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait," so when all the people of Israel began to see that they were in a difficult place, because if you are at a place and you see 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and all these other Philistines coming up against you, you're going to start to get a little bit nervous about what's going on out there. And he says, "When they saw they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal. And all the people followed him trembling." All those that did follow him, there were some that started to scatter, but then there were some that were following him and they were trembling. They were scared in what was going on. "And Saul, and he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel," who was the prophet, "had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him." So what's going on is the king has gone to battle. The prophet Samuel told him, "You go to Gilgal, you wait 7 days. Wait, there's a waiting period. There's a promise, I'm coming, I'll be there, I'm coming, wait 7 days." Because it was customary for them to go, before they went off into battle, they would kind of offer up a sacrifice unto the Lord and entreat the Lord on their behalf that it would go well with them with the battle. And it was the responsibility of the Levites and the priests to offer up that sacrifice according to the law of Moses. So it was, you had to be from the tribe of Levite and of the priests. priesthood to be able to do that work and to offer up that sacrifice. So the instruction was wait. Wait until I get there and tarry. And Samuel waited, Saul waited the 7 days, and the prophet of God hadn't shown up yet, and all the people began to scatter. All the people's minds were beginning to scatter and were beginning to get nervous and were worrying about what was going to happen. What's going to happen in this situation? We're up against this battle, and the man of God said he was going to come within this amount of time, and he didn't come. What, is the Lord deserting us? What are we doing? And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. So Saul was obedient in waiting the 7 days. Where Saul messed up is he was never supposed to offer the sacrifice unto the Lord, because according to the law of Moses, he was supposed to be the king. And what Samuel had set him up as a king, but according to the law of Moses, he was not allowed to offer that sacrifice. And as soon as he offered that sacrifice, if he had waited just a few more minutes, not days, not weeks, just a few more minutes, the prophet of God showed up right after he finished disobeying what God told him to do. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? Saul, what did you do? What happened? What did you do? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and ordered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom forever, upon Israel forever. Remember the promise, your kingdom, and the people in Israel would stay in this land, and your kingdom would continue if you were obedient to the Lord. And because you have not been obedient to the Lord, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. So the part, as I read that, for me, that's been a warning to me over the last few days has been, and I'm opening my heart up to you, and I'm being honest with you and telling you where I am right now. God has, like Saul, God has given me a position. He has anointed me to carry his word, but he has not placed me in the place of being a pastor at this point. He may not ever. I don't know. I don't know what the hand and the leading of the Lord is going to be. I don't know what he's got out in front of us. But the warning that is to me right now as I have read this is, Lord God, let me be faithful in the office in which you have put me, but do not, Lord, please, dear God, do not let me get ahead of you and get out of the position that you have called me into and get ahead of the Lord and take on something that I should not be meddling in because it was not my place to meddle in it. Though that's the warning that's been coming to me over the last several days, and I have been trying my best to take heed to that warning. And That same warning applies to all of us, brothers and sisters. There, God has placed some of us in a position of authority and placed us where He intended us to be. And God's plan is perfect. He has placed us where He wants us to be. And the warning to us is to be obedient during the waiting period. And watch, because sometimes the people will begin to get nervous and will begin to scatter. What I want to encourage you, don't scatter. Keep your eyes on the promise of God. So did you hear what happened with Samuel, with Saul? He took his eyes off of the promise and he began to focus on the current problem, the present situation that he was in. He no longer looked at the promise that was out in front of him, and he looked at just the current situation, and he began to fear the people and to fear the current situation that he was in. And so we've realized now that there is a promise, and if you keep your eye on the promise, you will be faithful to the instruction during the waiting period. When you take your eye off the promise, Aunt Carolyn, like you talked about the other day, about us looking and looking forward to making it over there to where our Jesus is and to where Johnny is, Brother Johnny, and that we're looking forward to getting over there, that's our promise that we are waiting on. And Lord, let me stand up and said, don't take your eyes off the goal. Don't take your eyes off the goal. Don't take your eye off the promise, because when we take our eyes off the promise and we begin to focus on the present, just like what happened with Saul, it begins to breed fear. Fear, I've heard several preachers lately, not our preachers, but I've listened to a bunch of different denominational preachers. For some reason, they are talking about fear a whole lot right now, and they say that fear is a bad thing. Fear paralyzes. And I agree with them to an extent, but they're only telling half the truth when they say that. Fear is a vital part of our salvation. You don't need to fear me. It is up to us individually to fear God and to keep His commandments. By the fear of God, men and women depart from evil. We are required to fear the Lord our God, not to fear our present circumstance. We are not to take our eye off of our God and off of the promise. And when we take it off of God and start to focus on that present situation, it begins to take the fear off of the Lord. And we put our fear then in our current situation. We begin to look at the current problem that we are going through, just like what Saul did. And he says, what am I going to do? What do I need to do? Why did he have to do anything? He was taking it on his own to do something that God had not told him to take care of. And he began to fear. So when that fear is a fertilizer for disobedience. When you misplaced fear, when you fear everything else out there in the world and your current situation and not the Lord God Jehovah, the one true God, when you begin to fear these other things, then that misplaced fear is a fertilizer for disobedience. And that disobedience will, once it is completely finished, when you finally get to the place where you are fully disobedient, we know that the wages of sin are death. And that disobedience is going to bring death. And the thing that my heart to an extent was to you young people for this message. And what I want you to realize out of this message and with Saul, what he's talking about here is peer pressure. What he's talking about is look if you are looking at everybody else around you and what they are doing, and you give in to what they are doing, then you are giving in to that fear of peer pressure of what are they going to think about me? What are they going to think about me if I don't do what everybody else is doing? And we're called to be a separate people. You're going to be different from all the rest of the people that are around you. And the reason we're different is because the majority of them are bound for a devil's hell. And if we don't live a different life, we're going to go. That disobedience is going to drag us. We know that the end of disobedience is death. So what I want to encourage, especially you young people with, don't give in to the peer pressure of what is going on around you. Like what happened with King Saul. This man wasn't in a position of weakness. He was in a position of authority and was a ruler over all these people. And he still gave in to peer pressure and was worried about what all these other people around him were going to think. And he began to fear the current situation that he was in instead of fearing the Lord God Jehovah. And it began to fertilize his disobedience. It began to grow disobedience within him. And because of that, God's promise became null and void to him. And what I want to encourage all of us with today, we have a promise from the Lord. We have a promise. We are the children of a promise. And God is not slack concerning his promises to us, as some men count slackness. But he will be faithful to every single one of those promises if we continue to put our faith in him during the waiting period. Don't step out during the waiting period and get ahead of the Lord and be disobedient during the waiting period, because the end of that is the negation of the promise. If you get ahead of the Lord and we begin to get out and be disobedient to what he has called us to, then that promise is negated. We lose the right to that promise. That's both to those of us who haven't, to those who hadn't received the Holy Ghost, and to those who have, because this is a one-time salvation. You have one chance with this, and at that point where you have gone too far, there is now no more sacrifice left for sin at that point, according to the Word of God. So what I want us to do is to be careful to keep our eyes, keep our minds laser focused on the promise. Because if you are looking up at the promise, for example, at the cross, if you are looking up at the cross, it is really hard to look up at the cross at the same time and look down at your current present situation. If you take your eyes off of the cross and you begin to look down at what you're currently facing, then it's real easy to let that begin to breed fear in your life. And then that fear will then begin to cause you to stray into disobedience. But keep your eyes. What I want to encourage you, keep your eyes on the cross. Keep it on Jesus, but the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus. And he is faithful to every single promise that he has made us. But sometimes it requires us waiting just a little while. It requires a waiting period. And sometimes the waiting period isn't a little while. Look at Noah. It was 120 years that Noah had to wait. The children of Israel waited 40 years in the wilderness. There was waiting, and waiting does not always mean just days or weeks. Waiting sometimes it means years, because God's plan is perfect. He has a perfect plan, and it is up to us to seek him with our whole heart. And in that day that we seek him with our whole heart, he will be found of us, and we can be a part of that perfect plan by keeping our eyes lifted up on the cross and not focusing on the present situation. Brother Lonnie, I don't know that I've got anything else to say. I think I'm just about done, and we'll turn it back over to y'all. But I love the Lord today, and my heart's desire is to see all the children of God strengthened. I want to see us strengthened and grow, and I want to see those that don't have the Holy Ghost come in and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But for me to be able to be a part of helping that, I've got to not get out of my place. I have a very specific place where God has placed me, and I'm doing my best. Lord God, please, oh Jesus, please do not let me be disobedient to what it is you've called me to do and jump ahead of the leading of the Lord. Let me stay in my place, but don't let that fear of getting out of my place hamper me doing the work that God has called me to do, because God has called us all to do a work. And don't let that fear keep us from putting forth an effort in the service, but we do need to be very conscious and know the Word of God so that we don't get ahead or out of our place where God wants us to be. I appreciate all of you. I appreciate the liberty and the freedom that y'all have given me all week long. I appreciate the prayers, and I hope you know, I pray that you know how much I love you and how I am so thankful for the body of Christ that is here and for the strength that I get from being here when the Lord allows me to be here. I love you and thank you.